Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to hear your word, to meditate on it. Lord, speak to us. Through your Holy Spirit, move us. Recreate us. For your word is living and active. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, John's gospel lesson that we heard today, you know, comes from the last couple chapters of his gospel. And he says that Jesus did many more signs in the presence of the disciples. But these are written so that you might believe in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. This is God's word. It is life. It is life for us. And so my question is, what are you meditating on? I know when we hear that word meditation, maybe we think of those Eastern religions, you know, sitting with our arms and legs folded, maybe even humming a little bit. But really, what is to meditate? Just to think on, right? It's just to what's in your mind over and over and over again. You know, one of the things that I'm meditating on right now, and maybe even a little too much, is the Astros. You know, Houston Astros baseball team. You know, it's past the All-Star break. Trade deadline was last week, you know, so I'm meditating. Have they done enough? Did they get the right players to have a late season run again? You know, are the pitchers going to continue to pitch at this level that they've been pitching at? Justin Verlander, you know, coming back from Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, hasn't pitched, and now he's 15-3 with a 1.72 ERA. You know, what is it going to cost to re-sign him for two or three more years? Well, then there's today. Christian Javier pitching against the Cleveland Guardians. How's that game going to go? And it just kind of continues to come up, and you think about stuff, and you go online, and there's social media stuff happening, and ESPN has scores, and what about the Yankees and the Mariners out in Seattle? And it's just that constant meditation. What's on your mind? We all meditate on something. Something's continually in our minds. And today, we're called to meditate on God's word. Let it be in you constantly. Let it be rolling around in your mind over and over and over again. There's a difference between having God's word and meditating on it. I mean, we all have God's word. I have God's word here. This is a Bible that was given to me at confirmation. And so, wonderful, wonderful Bible. But I got this one, and then of course, as a Lutheran pastor, I got the Lutheran Study Bible, and I still have my Greek New Testament, my Hebrew Old Testament, and I have some children's Bibles for the children. I got a bilingual Bible. I got a sportsman's Bible that, you know, is supposed to not make noise as you turn the pages in the deer stand. I don't know if that quite works, but you know, and as y'all laughed at last week, I'm probably going to need to buy a large print Bible pretty soon and all of this other stuff. You know, I have Bibles, but that's not meditating on it. I think we all understand that that's not just because it sits on the shelf doesn't mean that we're thinking about it constantly. We're meditating on it. You know, I know a lot of you have asked over the last year, what Bible should you buy yourself or should you buy your children? And I've given you this version over that version, and I like this translation or that translation. But the best answer that I can give you, one that you'll read. You know, and I know this is for our high schoolers and even our younger confirmation kids, you don't like to hear it, but if that's a child's Bible, because that's just kind of where they're at and that's where they need to be, or that's even for us as adults, if that's where we need to be so that we can just have that firm foundation to build upon, that's where we need to be. A Bible that we can read on. We've all have those Bibles. I remember, I think it was after my grandfather's funeral, the funeral home gave my grandmother, and she moved in with us after a while, a Bible. You know, it's padded up front, the big white one, the gold outline. I think it's in King James. And so Vaughn's not here. Unless you're Vaughn that really brings the King James to everything, you don't read it because it's all the thous and the shouts and all of that. It was a wonderful Bible, but we never looked at it. Get one that you can read. Get one that you can mark in, that you can write stuff on, Because that's God's word, and he wants you to dig on it, into it. How awesome would it be not to give a Bible that has your family history on the first page that's never been used, but one that your kids or your grandkids see, you know, the tears stained pages because you were obviously going through something that was just moving as you read God's word. We are called to meditate on it. Think about the other two lessons that we read. Joshua. Joshua is taking over for Moses. Moses has died. Joshua is now going to lead the people into the promised land. And he says, do not let the book of the law, the law being the Torah that can also be translated the words, the book of God's words depart from your lips. And I think, you know, we think about that as it's speaking, but remember, this is not a kind of, they don't read to themselves at this time. It's always a speaking. And so don't let it leave your lips as you meditate on it, as you speak it to yourself day in and day out, as you allow God to just work on you through this wonderful words of life. The Bereans. Paul comes with Silas and they preach the gospel and they take it and they're encouraged by it and they meet together daily to study God's words, to see if Paul is in accord with the scriptures. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be in God's word, to meditate on it, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Luther uses the example of cows chewing on cud. I am not an animal biologist by any means. A quick Google search said that cows chew 40% of the day, though. I mean, that's pretty crazy to think about, just the hours that is in a day. 40% of their day is chewing it. And of course, if you know, I know a little bit, they have the four stomachs, and I think it's the first two that regurgitate the food back up so that they can chew it again, so that it can break down, they get the nutrients, they swallow it, and it's that constant process. That's why they're chewing 40% of the day. That's what we're called to do. We're called to take in God's word, and you can do that in a lot of different ways. Maybe that's sitting down at 6 o'clock when the alarm goes off, or 5 o'clock when your alarm goes off, or 8 o'clock, whenever that is, and just taking that 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to read a chapter so that during the day, it's constantly there. Maybe it's you have a break at 11 o'clock in your kind of daily schedule, and it's just, I don't have my phone on me, but you get that app that allows you to get that one Bible verse for the day. And you can just say, wow, God's working. And then you can take those verses and question the text. I think God wants us to question it. Where do I find peace here? Where do I find comfort here? Where am I convicted in God's words here? What do I need to change? Where is Jesus in this text that's written thousands of years before he came on the scene? What is God doing as we continue to meditate on God's word, as we are moved by it and shaped by it? God's calling us into a relationship with him, and he wants us to be in his word so that he can reveal himself to us. He can reveal that we don't live up to his plan and that we deserve death. But yet the Savior is there to die for us, to forgive us, to restore us, to renew us. It's Luther that actually says that one word spoken by the Holy Spirit through God's word to us is better than 1,000 words of us praying to God. That the Holy Spirit would lead us. The Holy Spirit would guide us through his life-giving words as he continues to reveal more and more to us. Think about, if you're married, think about, you know, as you dated your spouse and you got to know them better, and maybe even when you came before the Lord's altar in marriage or even the justice of the peace, wherever that was, you thought you knew that person, right? I remember standing in front of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Eureka, Missouri, with Jessie and her childhood pastor, and going, I love this woman. I understand marriage, and I understand love, and I understand her, but it wasn't till afterwards that you really start to understand what marriage is about. And as that person continues to reveal who they are through their actions and their love and their care and their support for you, I think I know Jesse more now, 100 times more than I did that day, because she continues to reveal herself, and I continue to reveal myself to her through this marriage relationship, and that's the way God is with us. Just because we're Christian and He has brought us to faith, whether it be as a young age or even as an adult, we're not done. God wants to continue to pour out into your lives. God wants to continue to reveal who He is and what He has done for you as we move forward. And so when we're in this relationship, we have to be in His Word. We have to be studying. I pray that you'll take time this week and study God's Word, to make it a habit. And however that is, you know, just make it happen. Because let's be honest, right? You're going to pick, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. I'm going to, you know, have my phone ding at 11 o'clock with that one Bible verse. What's going to happen the night before? Something's going to happen, and you're going to be an hour and a half later than your bedtime, and you're tired, and it's a long day the next day, and man, I just want to sleep in that extra 30 minutes because it's so much better. Or 11 o'clock is coming around, and at 10:55, that phone call comes. That urgent email, because let's be honest, Satan is working. Satan doesn't want you in God's Word because he knows God's Word brings life. It brings joy. It brings comfort and peace to you, and Satan wants you far away from that. And so he's going to throw up roadblocks in your life so that it's not happening. So we have to be intentional. Last week, as we started this kind of disciplines and all that, I had the two football players up here, and you know, two-a-days are either started or right around the corner. And those coaches are going to have to make some of those kids run. Some have started running already and getting in shape, but I'm sure there are some on the team that aren't going to run that first step until that coach says, line up, boys. We're running. And I think maybe that's us as well. Maybe you need to find someone in your life, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a close friend, whether it be your pastor, whoever it is, that's going to keep you accountable, that says, okay, let's get in God's Word. I heard a story of these group of guys that would read, and they would pick like half a book, you know, not one that has three chapters, one that has like 30 chapters. And we're going to read 15 in 1 week, and if we didn't finish it, we're going to do it again. And they didn't want to finish. They wanted somebody not to get it, so they would have to reread it over and over, and then maybe after a week or two, they could move on. Isn't that amazing that we allow God's Word to just continue to flow over us as He moves us and allows us to see Him in these things? And of course, as I mentioned, that oxygen mask. You know, when it comes down and we receive that oxygen mask, yes, it creates faith and it gives us life and courage, but then we can help others. Only then do we know what to say and speak to others. Then we can be the one planted, you know, in the streams of water and deep roots and all of that. And when the storms come, we can reach out and help others because we have this Word. My prayer is that you would find a way to plug into God's Word. Some of you probably already have plans and you're doing it. Maybe just step it up a little. For some, this might be intimidating because you really haven't done a whole lot of meditating on God's Word and being in God's Word. I just pray that you would just take the time, be intentional, because God's Word is life, and He wants to draw you closer to Him and help you so that you can stand, so that you can have hope and even deflect the onslaught of the evil in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is life. You call us to meditate on it day and night. You call us to keep it on our lips all the time. And so I ask, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would move us to be a congregation that is in your word, that we would see this discipline and go after it. We would find the people that we would need to help us to make us accountable, because it's not easy. And we know Satan's out there trying to push us away from your word, to put up roadblocks so that we find other things to do, but we know that you are more powerful. You are stronger than anything. And so we know that you can help us in this. Create in us a love of you so that we desire to be with you. We desire to understand you better. Lord, thank you for your word. Allow us to read it, to mark it, to inwardly digest it, for it is life for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time...